Well, hello, marketers, and welcome to another episode of Marketing Monday, recorded for Monday, January 9th, 2017. Today on the show, we're covering our main topic, which is three ways attractions use public relations companies to make money. And then we're going to go into our news section, which is all about Facebook and their changes that are going to affect the way attractions interact socially. Without any further ado, I'm going to bring on my co-host Tyler, and we're going to get this rolling. All right, Tyler, welcome back for another Marketing Monday.
Philip, how was your holidays?
Oh, that's right. This is the first episode of the new year.
This is the first Marketing Monday of 2017.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, it was all of my holidays were spent just at the home. I didn't do any traveling. I didn't go anywhere. It was pretty pretty relaxing. How about yours?
You said at the home, like the home.
Yeah, the home.
Were you at a nurse? No. Were you at a nursing home?
The main home, you know, like our family home.
Well, I do want to go ahead and just apologize for everybody. In case my voice sounds a little off, I have a cold right now, and I know it's not the best for recording, but we're going to try to get through this, even if I sound a little nasally. So I do apologize for that.
Well, let's not waste any time then and get on to our first topic, which will be covered by Tyler. So Tyler, tell us three ways attractions use public relations companies to make money.
Well, sorry, a PR company, public relations company, has three very important things they do for attractions. And I want to make the distinction that a PR company is not an advertising company. It is not a media buying agency. There are some PR companies out there that will help you place certain media, but that is not their function. The three things a good PR company will do for your attraction is to protect, enhance, and build reputations through media for your brand. Now, through media could be through television or radio, through social media, or self-produced marketing, communications, things like that. So, a good PR person will be able to analyze and organize and find the positive messages that inspire people to buy your product or attend your attraction or do things like that. Most often, they will help you write press releases. They'll help you with speech writing, writing pitches, things like that. And they'll kind of become the face of your brand, if you want them to. Obviously, you can decide on the many services that a PR company can provide, and they certainly can become the face of your attraction. I know a lot of attractions out there will probably have either like a themed character or a paid like internal spokesperson or their own face of like a mascot or something of their brand. But a PR company can certainly help you with that. So I want to reiterate that the difference between public relations and advertising is that it's kind of a unpaid versus paid thing, or like an earned versus purchased model. So a good PR firm will help your brand or your business earn, I can feel my voice going, will help you earn kind of additional FaceTime with your customers. And that could be as simple as they send out a press release for you, they've contacted the media, and now the local television station is going to come out to your attraction and have a face-to-face with you. Whereas if you're paying for advertising, you can certainly pay the TV station to come out. Now that can be expensive because you would have to, you know, negotiate this visit through your ad spend. But a PR company coupled with an advertising agency can really do your brand wonders. Now, oftentimes, an ad agency or a marketing agency will manage the PR company for you. Most advertising agencies have really good relationships already with very professional and established and credible PR firms. And oftentimes in your contracts with an advertising agency, there can be a clause put in that the agency will manage the PR firm for you so that it can tie in, so that the message the PR company puts out matches the message that is going out in the advertising. So it's all one synced up voice, one brand, and there's not any confusion anywhere. So again, I wanted to reiterate that the three important things that a good PR company can do for your attraction is to protect your brand, enhance your brand, and build reputations for your brand through paid media, social media, or any type of self-produced content or communications. So that's a really quick spiel about how important a good PR company is. Philip, do you have anything that you want to add to what a PR company is and what they should be doing for your attraction?
Yes. So I know that both Tyler and I have worked either within public relations companies or with public relations companies or alongside, kind of from every angle, you know, either as the advertiser or the agency or the attraction. And they take a lot of different forms, kind of depending on the size of your attraction. And I know that our listeners out there are pretty varied in terms of the size of their attractions and their budgets, and all of those variables. You guys are pretty well scattered kind of throughout that. So I just want to give a little bit of a focus on what the public relation agency interaction looks like, for those of you on the smaller end. You know, so you can get an agency on a, you know, kind of anything in between. So you can get it on a purely just one event basis. I've worked with a few brands that have different public relation firms coming in to help with every different event, which gets a little bit annoying from the media angle, as my hat, you know, having to keep track of all these contacts. You know, or you have one firm that's constantly the entire time, or you a lot of have internal people, etc. But you know, basically, you know, to springboard off of what Tyler was saying, the public relations position exists to listen to what you are doing and to kind of delve through all of your company processes and find the components in those that are newsworthy and take those newsworthy elements, polish them into a larger story, and then go out and pitch specific influencers that already are looking for that type of content. That, so the basic premise is you have influencers out there, and influencers need content just like everyone else. Say they're a content machine, they need content to continue to produce and to engage with their audiences. And a lot, you know, every influencer, journalist, reporter, blogger, everybody on that spectrum, you know, they each have stories and specific interests and audiences. So the basic premise is it's somebody whose job is to look at everything that you're doing, find newsworthy content or newsworthy things you're doing, turn that into a polished story or a polished concept, and then analyze the best audience for that it would really be meaningful for, and then take that and reach out directly to specific journalists or specific stations to give it to them. Even if you're just day-to-day attraction and you have bloggers and news crew all wanting to get in, that's just a lot of coordination on its own. It's just working with those people to coordinate when they're going to show up, and then they need photos of your attractions, and they need video, or they need rights to bring in cameras, or they're going to be doing shooting. Just there's a lot of logistics that start to get involved when you have a lot of people trying to come in, and you really want to make it as easy as possible for those influencers to document what you're doing and to take it as a story. And the public relations company really just works and takes all of that and it makes it smooth. You know, coming from now the media side, a lot of attractions that don't have anyone in charge of public relations, it becomes very difficult for me as a editor to even cover their attraction, because you know, nobody has pictures, nobody can tell me, you know, when we can film or when there's going to be a film night or their attention's going to be lighted. You know, nobody can get me in contact with the creative team to get quotes for articles from them. You know, there's no assets. It's hard to find a logo that's high resolution enough for print. I mean, all of these problems, you know, all of those are also logistically what your public relations teams assist with. So speaking from the media side, when I am referred to a public relations team, it's just wonderful. It's like a just breath of fresh air when you get those and they come in and I'm like, I need all these things, and they just send everything to me in a Dropbox link, and I just sigh relief.
Well, another key function of a good PR firm is that they can help you handle like crisis management.
Yeah, that's the protect point on there, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For, you know, if you're an attraction owner and, you know, let's just assume something bad happens, no matter what that is, your PR person should be able to then step in and help you manage the situation so that your attraction or your brand or your company comes out smelling like roses. Now, that's not always going to be the case, but they are the professionals that have a better chance of helping you through a situation like that, when sometimes as an attraction owner you may feel overwhelmed and may become reactionary to certain events, and it's always a bad thing. So having that PR person there, especially for crisis management, is huge, and that's part of the, you know, like Philip said, that's part of the protecting your brand. So
yeah,
that's a good discussion on what is an effective and a good PR company. And if you don't already work with one, I highly recommend that you do. And even if you're not working with an advertising agency, then you're just not running your business right.
Okay. Okay, Tyler. Yeah,
you need to be working with an advertising agency.
All right. So to summarize, three ways attractions use PR companies to make money. So Tyler gave a good example of the connection to funds, which is getting you more face time. And a lot of good PR companies will actually give you a summary of the earned media that they procured for you and the value of that earned media, so you can actually look at it as like input it into your profit and loss statement or your cash flow statement. So the protect here is assisting you with protecting your brand name if something comes up, if there's some sort of like a bad customer complaint or something that comes up to that. It enhances your attraction because they help you look at everything you're doing and find those nuggets of newsworthy content and flesh them out into polished stories and elements that that you can use. So in that way, they're enhancing what you're doing because they're taking... Sometimes we're just too close to our attractions, so they help you take it and put it into the context of why it matters to people in general. And then, as Tyler said, they do build your relationships because they're helping you build this repertoire of interactions with influencers, and then thereby interactions with your audience. So, awesome. Okay, moving on to our news section. So the first story we're going to cover is an update on the Facebook fake news epidemic. And this story comes to us from Social Media Today. And the title is Facebook Updates Newsfeed Algorithm to Combat Spread of Fake News. So basically, the spread of fake news is, well, it was getting even worse, and I guess it kind of culminated in some comments that President Barack Obama weighed in on in mid-December, and forcing Facebook to not only admit that there is a fake news problem, but actually taking steps to correct it, which we, you know, kind of covered that in the last episode. So there are four changes that they're implementing, and these are just interesting changes. We'll talk a little bit about how they affect attractions, but The first one is easier reporting. Basically, as anyone who's tried to report anything on Facebook knows, it's kind of difficult to do so because they kind of hide everything somewhat purposely, in my opinion. So now they're putting the report button basically more on the forefront of the menu when you click to report a post, which isn't a big change. The second one is a little larger, which is flagging stories as disputed. So basically, as explained by the VP for Newsfeed at Facebook, he stated that we started a program to work with third-party fact-checking organizations that are signatories of the International Fact-Checking Code of Principles. We'll use the reports from our community along with other signals to send stories to these organizations. If the fact-checking organizations identify a story as fake, it will get flagged as disputed, and there will be a link to the corresponding article explaining why. Stories that have been disputed may also appear lower in newsfeed. He goes on further down the release to say, once a story is flagged, it can't be made into an ad or promoted. And also, that we found that if reading an article makes people significantly less likely to share it, that may be a sign that a story has misled people in some way. We're going to test incorporating this signal into ranking specifically for articles that are outliers, where people who read the article are significantly less likely to share it. So this is a pretty big deal. You know, basically, they're going to use a third-party site. There's going to be a big button on there that says disputed by third-party fact-checkers. And when you go to share something that's disputed, you'll actually get a push notification that says, before you share this story, you might want to know that independent fact-checkers disputed its accuracy, and you have to click continue before you're allowed to share it, which is huge. The thing that is very upsetting to me and anyone who creates content attractions alike is that little... the informed sharing portion of that, which basically is if a lot of people read your thing but then they don't share it, that's going to be one of the indicators that we look at to know that it could be fake. And I'm like, wait a minute, what if you're just producing content that people don't want to share?
Well, this has me very
concerned,
torn, because I'm torn because, you know, and I don't want to get political, but I am a very devout libertarian, and I believe, you know, a person or a corporation or a news agency has the right to publish anything they want, whether it would be a lie or a truth. However, I think this has become an issue, as we've seen in this past election cycle, and it just furthers my belief that, you know, people are stupid.
Oh yeah.
People are just truly stupid. And that now you have pages that are created to push a political agenda. And whether that be, you know, whatever agenda that is, it doesn't really matter. But they're pushing a political agenda, and they are creating fake news or meme pictures that presents itself as facts. And are completely 100% false. But they don't care, because they know that people are stupid, and that people will believe whatever they see on Facebook, and that it will get shared, and it will be accepted as the truth.
I guess my point in bringing this up was, it's an update on our previous one. It is something that's happening, and really just as... You know, Tyler is surmising that, you know, social is a landscape of great change, because whenever you put a lot of people into there and you incentivize emotional sharing, you know, you're going to get into these weird situations, and this is one of them. And for attraction owners, now to bring it back to us, for, you know, attraction owners, it's something to keep your eye on, because the way that they're trying to enforce this could have potential ramifications for content that we're creating and for us getting our message out to people. I mean, you still don't know what they're going to do to, you know, now here's the, now the other problem. If there are just people that are unhappy with your attraction, so they're going to go in and flag your stories as fake or flag your stuff as fake, or and then you can't do your ad spend properly. I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Does this apply in the news? Did it apply to, like, if you just post a video, or are these strictly for, like, articles or links out to a website or things like that?
I believe that they are for links or posts of any kind. Like, you know, when you're on Facebook and any post you see, there's a little arrow that drops down. If that arrow is there,
I've seen that.
And there's a button on there that says report this post. That's where you can report it as a fake news story.
Well, this could get dangerous.
Yeah, it could be very dangerous. That's why we're kind of bringing this on the show, is it could be very dangerous. As Tyler said, you know, and we all know that our guests sometimes get very emotional. They get very upset. A lot of them are on, like, vacation brain when they're visiting our attractions. So this could, we don't know where this is going to go, and it's completely untested. And it's just crazy. The last one on here, of their four new implementations is, disrupting financial incentives for spammers. Basically, it's just them saying that they're going to, start taking manual action against pages that are peddling spam links, for clicks. So, like, clickbait websites, they're just going to kind of start penalizing those Facebook pages. So, again,
now that I am happy,
I'm happy about that, but it's another thing to watch, because depending on how they choose to enforce that, could be, you know, could be a problem.
Well, I'm sure they're going to create some sort of dispute resolution. I mean, if an attraction gets flagged, I mean, obviously an attraction shouldn't be putting putting pages up that are clickbait pages or false, misleading news or whatever. But if you're flagged, surely they would put in place a way to dispute this, and for someone to manually look at it and be like, oh,
yeah,
this was just an accident, or you just had a pissed off customer or something like that. So I'm sure there's going to be a way to dispute this.
Yep, I hope so. And but I'm sure there's going to be a big learning curve. So just keep this in mind, everybody. The one that worries me the most is their number three, which is their inform sharing thing, which is basically if your stuff gets read but doesn't get shared, it's going to be one of the indicators they look at that it's possibly fake. Because I'm like, that's just kind of weird. So anyway, moving on to the next story that we have comes from the MarTech Advisor, and it's titled How Marketers Can Leverage Facebook Messenger's Latest Update. And there was a recent update to Facebook Messenger. They updated to Facebook Messenger 1.3, which I noticed over the holidays, because it's basically allows for personal use. The update allows you to add filters and masks onto your Messenger stuff in the same way that Snapchat does. So it's very interesting.
Phillip,
update.
Didn't we just talk recently about Instagram competing with Snapchat? Didn't we just talk about that?
Well, here you go. They're rolling out new changes, as they always do. So
now, I gotta say, I love, like, I know we're gonna get into it, but I love this update. And I love the ability of setting up a chatbot. Now, the only thing I'm wondering is, will this help a page increase their response time?
Yeah.
You know, to get that little green, you know, sought-after, fast little messenger icon, will this help with that? Because I know some people get busy, and some people just cannot respond in time to their Facebook page. Well, so I'm curious if this will help.
Let me update everybody on here what I was talking about. So I'm going to read you a few quotes from the article. The most exciting new feature in Messenger 1.3 is sponsored messages, which allow brands to re-engage users who have interacted with them in the past, which is insane to me. The author of this post kind of gives us some pretty good suggestions on here, which I love, which says that what they i.e. brands, should be doing is investing the resources to create a bot that's actually conversational and able to process the natural language that its users speak. It requires a far more sophisticated technology, but it also brings with it the opportunity to infuse the brand's personality into the interactions, which makes for a much richer experience and deeper connection with the customer, which Tyler was talking about the bots there, which we'll get to in a moment. He goes on further to say that, gives examples of how you might do this, which is tease users with a peek at a new product. Invite them to sound off about an issue. Introduce a zany character associated with the brand. For example, think Dos Equis' Most Interesting Man in the World, or Mayhem from the Allstate commercials, whom they can converse with. Whatever you do, the objective is to get users to click through and enter the chat. So we finishes off with an excerpt from the Facebook announcement that says, sponsored messages go straight to the individual, just like a message from a friend, but this is a delicate opportunity. If the user doesn't engage in response to a sponsored message, the brand can't send another sponsored message in the future, at least not until if and when the user opens the first message. Also, the user can block future messages from the brand at any time. So it is a very, very, very exciting update to Messenger, and it presents a whole plethora of opportunities for brands. I actually think the one that the article author here mentions about allowing your, basically allowing your guests to interact with one of your personalities at your attraction is a great, great idea. I mean, think, you know, talking, you know, Q&A with Shamu or you know, Big Bird or, you know, one of your original haunted attraction characters, you know, get to ask them questions, you know, that kind of a thing.
I also want to clarify on the sponsored messages. You can only send out a sponsored message to, because this was kind of confusing on the first read through for me.
Yeah.
Because they use the word engage.
Yeah.
And to me, someone who engages with a page is anyone who likes it, who has commented, who has wrote a review, who has shared something, any type of engagement. But this is strictly an engagement within the Messenger app.
Yes,
so it's
yes.
only to people who had sent your business or your page a message. And that's it.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. It opens up a lot of questions, you know, like if you're... It's just a lot, you know, who's going to, if you're going to do this, who's going to be monitoring it. The chatbot, I think, is a great idea, but chatbots are, well, you know, sometimes they're expensive. It really just depends on your brand, you know, how much red tape you have to do to have people answering. So, you know, are you going to have a team that is creating this? Who's going to be monitoring it? You know, what is going to be your call to action? Are we actually going to see people putting money behind promoting the message button? Because that's what they mean. You know, they mean if somebody asks you a question on Facebook and they open the chat window, then you can later, you know, send them a sponsored message. So are you going to see brands move to starting campaigns that really just ask people, you know, for their opinion? You know, that could be very interesting, you know, about them to sign off about an issue, you know?
I wonder if they'll ever count, like, if you're watching a Facebook Live video and you're interacting with the video with whoever it is going live in the comments section, if they would maybe down the road consider that one of these engagements. Because that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, message us now or we'll get back to you. You know, we're live now, but, you know, ask us a question below and we'll get back to you. You know, like, that would be a huge... time saver and a huge way to interact and engage with potential customers.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Answer questions and basically form an FAQ that they can just ask you a question and you can, and then compile that later and then gather their information. So it is a very, very interesting update, especially for attractions, because we do tend to get a lot of questions, and you know, a lot of the attractions do have are able to excite people, and they do have personalities at their attractions that could potentially engage with people on social via this new feature. So very interesting. Moving on to our last news story, which comes to us from Social Media Today. And the title of this article is Facebook releases new Facebook Live updates, but only for high profile users at this stage. So this one is very quick. we're getting close to the end of the show. This one's very quick because it's basically not too relevant for attractions in that it's in the details. What's relevant for attractions in this one is that the author talks on here about how this is probably going to, these changes are probably going to roll out for everybody. Basically, that there are new functions to that are available to high level influencers when they're broadcasting on Facebook Live. So a lot of attractions don't have access to them or to Facebook mentions, which is their influencer celebrity kind of app thing. So a lot of attractions don't have access to that. But as the author points out, you know, initially Facebook Live itself was only available to celebrities, and then it was brought for everybody, and they really just use it as a testing ground. And I agree with that. I do agree that Facebook is probably going to update their live functionality. So I think where this is important for attractions is for you to just kind of be aware that there are changes coming to that, and to keep an eye out on them, because if a lot of you are not doing something with live, you should be, because Facebook is investing so heavily into it right now that doing something at your attraction, even if it's just this little link that we'll probably discuss in a later episode, even if it's just an eagle camera, you just literally have a Facebook live stream
have
of
you
an
been
eagle
watching the baby eagles,
yeah, along with, you know, hundreds of thousands of other people.
I've been watching the spacewalk. Have you seen that?
So you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of potential in Facebook Live for attractions, because generally, you know, we're a very visual thing. We're trying to draw people there, and there's something going on for the duration of when we're open. So it's a very good amount of, it's like we're already creating the content and getting it ready for people. Then you just put it live. So being aware of these changes to their tools and what they're going to be offering, I think would help those of you that are looking into doing live, because I agree this is probably going to be rolled out as a wider release. So that's my mention.
It's awesome. I love these changes, and what I love is being able to, some of the new changes, like being able to schedule,
yeah,
like pre-schedule broadcast. I know for a fact that monetization is coming down the pike for live broadcast.
Oh yeah.
and I just want to remind attraction owners out there, or, you know, businesses with your business pages on Facebook, in order, you can go live right now if your page is verified. So please, and I will always repeat that in order to go live on Facebook, you must first verify your page. And I know that may seem like, oh, well, everybody should have their page verified, but I can't tell you how many times I have seen professional pages that are not verified. So it's easy to overlook, but please make sure if you're going to go live on Facebook that your page is first verified, and then you do at least a little bit of posting before you go live just to let people know that you are about to. And that's just some general best practice type of stuff. So, but the updates are cool. I mean, I'm really excited about these updates. Again, I'm really excited about the comment moderation and the pre-broadcast drafts and scheduling, stuff like that. It's really exciting. So,
yep. So I think that's it for this episode. We are still accepting your all's feedback. I think we're going to be doing that until the end of January. So go ahead and go to www.hauntedapplication.com to give us feedback on what type of content you would like to see for the new year. And do you have anything special going on, Tyler? Any other announcements?
Not really. I mean, we're kind of in January, getting ready for Trans World coming up in March, so I'm excited for that. I know I will be there with Fear Word Advertising. You know, just meeting our clients and having a good time. Hopefully talking to new clients. And if you ever want to reach out to me, you can email me at tyler@fearworm.com or tyler@redrockaustin.com. But if you're going to Trans World, to the Haunted Attraction Show, please stop by the booth, and I'll keep mentioning this up until the show. And just say hi. You know, just say, hey, you listen to the show. Let's chat, you know, if you want to talk a little bit. It's nice to see everybody. I know last year, Philip and I were recognized a few times. It's always nice to chat with people and see, you know, meet with people who are fans of the show and who enjoy listening to us babble on about marketing and advertising and all this crazy stuff. And so if you're going to the show, please stop by the booth and say hi. So that's it. That's it for me.
Yeah. My updates, we're busy. It's trade show season is starting next week. Actually, I have less than a week and then the trade show season starts and I'm basically gone every other week. And
fun time.
Yeah. I'm excited. I will be teaching a few times in this new year. So I have one of my resolutions is to get out there and teach at least once a month somewhere this year. So I have classes coming up at HauntCon at the end of January. And then I actually, it may sound random, I have classes coming up also in February at the Paintball Extravaganza, which is the largest show for paintball attraction owners domestically. So those two are slated to come up, and of course I will be teaching later in the year at Scarlet and at some of the other shows. So I'm still looking for something for March and April and May, but we got January and February covered.
I did want to share real quick one of my New Year's resolutions. And Philip, I have not told you about this yet. So this will be news to you live on the show.
Oh, no.
one of my New Year's resolutions is to produce a few more downloads for hauntdesignkit.com. It has been a while since I've created some new downloads of models or walls or what have you. Pretty much because it's a pretty established collection. There's not been a whole lot of recommendations as far as like what people want, as far as design goes. It's everything you could need is pretty much already there. But I have a few ideas that I'm going to get up. So that is one of my New Year's resolutions, is you will start to see some new downloads on hauntdesignkit.com. And that is part of the Haunt Attraction Network. You can check that out. And yeah, so there's that.
Nice. All right, well, on behalf of Tyler and myself, that wraps this episode up. We will see you all in 2 weeks.
Bye, everybody.